and soul. Jack only believed in honor and a warrior's dignity. If he was going on the last train west, he'd make it something the freaking pirates would remember for years.
Next!
Jack shuffled forward, and through the crowd of armed guards, he could catch a peek at the arena below. The playing field had been divided into four unequal areas by stout brick walls topped with iron spikes. The churned soil in each area puddled with red blood. In the first was a pack of wild boars stomping a headless corpse, their tusks ripping out huge gouts of flesh with every strike. In the next, a huge lion-like cat was mauling a youth with its claws until the screaming ceased, then the beast tossed away the body with a headshake. In the third pit were stickies, hooting insanely as the crowd actually tossed handfuls of jolt into the air and laughed as the drug drifted down onto the humanoid muties. The fourth contained only bones, with something moving below the soil out of sight, only the disturbances on top of the ground marking its passage. The team nodded. Fair enough. If he had any say in his destination, Jack certainly knew which of these he'd choose.
Next!
Jack held out his wrists.
Ah, a muti!
A slave undid the albino's neck chains, then released his wrists. Jack rubbed them while the lead restraints were removed. He walked through the crowd of guards and looked over the crowd.
Look! An albino!
Bets were placed. Handfuls of live ammo exchanged across the grandstand.
Nice jacket. Give it to me and I'll give you this knife.
Fair deal.
Jack slid off his leather jacket, then slapped it across the guard's face.
Ah!
The razor blades and bits of barbed wire sewn into the collar and lapels ripped apart the pirate's flesh and removed an eye. Jack tossed the jacket at the nearest guards, and they recoiled from the garment, unsure of exactly what had just happened. Spinning, Jack kneed another in the groin and took his blaster. Jack fired over the falling body at the next sec man. The flame from the muzzle covered the man's head, the moonball exploding his skull, sending a grisly rain over the closest attendees. The team grabbed a chair and turned to find a score of blasters pointing his way. He hesitated for a moment, then lowered the chair, his bid for freedom gone.
Tough little bastard, ain't ya?
A pirate slapped Jack across the face. He filled his mouth with bloody saliva and spat it back at the sec man.
Lord Baron Kinnison says hello.
You diseased bastard!
Kill him! Set him on fire! Give him to the worms!
Aye. It's been long enough for them to be hungry again. We'll toss him to the worms.
Like worms. Eat for breakfast.
That buys you a drink.
The spat upon guard passed Jack a greasy bottle. Jack took a sniff and forced himself to recoil.
What is? Horse piss?
Shut up and drink. And for every drop you miss, off comes a toe. Eh? How's that, gimp?
Fair.
Jack took a long swig, then sprayed the bitter brew into the pirate's eyes. Momentarily blinded, the sec man fired his blaster, but Jack had already moved, the 44 mini-ball slamming into the guard behind the teenager. Clutching his chest, the startled man stumbled backward and fell into the nearest pit. Kicking another man in the knee, Jack felt the bone break. As a guard rushed forward, the teenager smashed the bottle over his head and stole the guard's knife. With half their number aced in a few moments, the remaining guards scrambled for distance to safely use their blasters. Jack buried the broken end of the bottle into the face of a bearded pirate, twisting the shards in deep. The mutilated sailor fell to his knees on the suddenly bloody floor. With lightning-fast hands, Jack grabbed his blaster and a second blade, then started for the tunnel, the only escape route available. But the guards were already rushing toward him with raised chairs as shields. Shifting plans, Jack fired the blaster, catching the slave with the keys in the belly. The man slumped over in pain, the keys clattering as they fell to the ground. The line of slaves stared in wonder at the sight, then dove upon the keys, insanely fighting among themselves to get loose first.
They're mine. They're mine!
Fuck you!
A guard rushed Jack with an axe. The team blocked the strike with a spent blaster and grabbed a fresh weapon from his attacker. Then the others swarmed over him, and the team was forced off the grandstand and fell into a pit himself. Wild boars raced upon the sprawled teenager, blood from their last chill dripping off their razor-sharp tusks.
Now the fun really starts!
The trembling slaves stood in a bunch on the PT boat's deck, staring in open horror at the island only 100 feet away. Most were people dragged from the hovels outside Cascade, beaten and chained as slaves, then herded onto crude rafts of lashed timbers and hauled behind the four PT boats across miles of ocean until reaching this horrid destination, Forbidden Island. To many, the words were synonymous with hell.
You first!
Mitchum grabbed a skinny man by the shoulder and shoved him off the boat. The man hit the water in panic.
Help! Please help me!
Swim for shore, idiot! And when you hit the beach, walk straight!
But I'll die! The air's poison! Mutiny's everywhere!
Campbell, convince him otherwise.
Aye, sir.
Hey! You almost hit me! Have mercy! Have mercy!
Swim or die!
The chained crowd whimpered and muttered among themselves as they watched the man dog paddle for the nearby shore. The waves were gentle along that section of beach, and if there were any riptides that far from the deadly whirlpool, none seized the man and hauled him underwater. Mitchum scowled from the vessel's bobbing wheelhouse. The crew had dropped anchor, but it did little to smooth the rough waves. Hopefully it was merely the advance notice of a coming storm, and not the herald of a deeper arriving. After delivering its load of people, the PD had swung away from the rest of the boats and assumed a defensive position in the deep waters off the landmass. The pirates couldn't fail to see their arrival, and once they figured out what was going on, they'd hit the navvies with everything they had. Against that eventuality, Glassman had given the sec chief a pre-dark revolver from the captain's own armory, a .357 Magnum Ruger Redhawk. As a precaution, he tied the blaster to his belt so it couldn't fall overboard. It weighed a lot, but he'd been assured that it hit harder than a .44 flintlock. Mitchum was eagerly looking forward to seeing if that were true. Battling to stay on the surface, the slave stared at the beach he was heading for. Big rocks that looked like molten glass studded the beach, and the trees beyond were oddly stunted, their trunks twisted and gnarled as if in pain. He flinched as something brushed against him under the water, and he rushed forward to gratefully touch the shallow shoal-sloping sand, which squished between his bare toes. Rising timidly from the sea, the man eyed the nearby bushes and wondered for a moment if the sailor could accurately shoot that far. The blaster's bullet shattered the glass rock next to the slave into shards, one piece scoring a bloody scratch along his ribs.
Keep moving! We'll tell you when to stop!
Swallowing hard, the slave began to shuffle forward, moving around a gaping hole in the ground that seemed to be filled with small pieces of the glass-like rocks, the air about it hazy with a greenish hue. Almost immediately, a wave of weakness flowed through his body, and the man shivered with unexpected cold. It was becoming hard to focus his vision. He felt dizzy. The taste of metal filled his mouth, and every step was becoming more tedious, his legs wobbly as if they were melting. Sweat poured down his face. His teeth chattered. Wiping his mouth, the man saw flecks of blood on his hand. Suddenly, it was impossible to breathe, his lungs laboring to draw in the smallest sip of air. His teeth began to ache, and blood poured from his nose. Then, his teeth fell to the ground, along with a sprinkling of his hair.
What's happening to me?
Unable to think clearly, he turned and started back for the ocean, thinking in a wild delirium that he'd be okay again if he could just get back on the Petey. The waves washed over his feet, the salt stinging like acid.
Campbell, you know what to do.
Shit.
Something hit the slave very hard in the chest. The pain became a warm numbness, and he fell backward into a black pit without a bottom.
Was that necessary, sir?
Yes, Campbell. If the slaves know that we'll ace them when it gets too bad, then they won't dash about madly and ruin the chart.
Makes sense. You're next.
The sergeant grabbed a young woman by the arm and shoved her into the water. Far away, Mitchum eagerly watched as she swam to shore, then walked along the beach, about 50 feet to the left of the corpse sprawled in the sand. She made it a lot farther before collapsing, fighting for breath.
Starting to look good.
This was a good idea. Use the slaves to walk along the rat-hot beach and find the pirate's safe passage to the interior. He thought it a long shot at best, but that damn plan seemed to be working. Soon, they could land the Hummers and drive into the jungle after the Outlanders.
Sir?
Nothing. Pay attention to your job.